Good morning. If you'd like to, you can open your Bible to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses there in just a moment. But there were several of us, I think about 17 or 18 of us, that over the last few days went to the Orange Conference, which fortunately for us is right here in our backyard at what used to be called Gwinnett Arena, and now it's called Infinite Energy. It's named after preschoolers, Infinite Energy Center or something like that. And we spent some time with 7,495 of our closest friends from 2,139 churches, 22 countries, and all 50 states. It's pretty amazing. And to talk about building faith in the next generation, there were so many people there that all the hotels in the area filled up. And so word went out over Facebook that they needed people to host folks coming in from out of town. And Sue said, we'll do it. And like right away, we got a response. And so we housed a woman from South Africa for the conference. And it was amazing to meet her, to get to know her. And I want to thank all the volunteers. Our whole staff went, but we had a number of volunteers that work so hard in our ministry to families that went with us, took time out of their schedules to go, and I really appreciate that and appreciate the support that all of you, so many of you, give in many different ways to help build faith in the next generation. This morning, we want to take some time. I'm going to share a few things, and then we have some other folks who went to the conference are going to share a couple of things about what we've learned and what's on our heart as we move forward in taking care of our kids. Also, right after I finish, we're going to show a recap video of the conference, and then after the other people share, Sue is going to talk about our summer program that we have coming up that we're going to do a little differently this year. But in Luke chapter 1, verse 1, it says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. I love that phrase. So the people who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So this is how Luke introduces his gospel, which we've been studying for a little while. Luke also wrote the book of Acts, and in Acts 1:1, he refers back to Luke, and he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. All the things Jesus began to do and to teach. And as Jesus went about doing and teaching, there were people who witnessed that. That they took it in. They saw with their eyes. They heard with their ears. And they became eyewitnesses of what Jesus did. But then they took it another step. They weren't just eyewitnesses. They became servants of the word. They put it into practice. They served Jesus because their faith translated into a way of life. And Luke and Acts both are written to this a person, Theophilus, and we don't really know if this was an actual person. The word Theophilus means lover of God or friend of God or maybe beloved by God. And it could be just a representative of everyone who loves God and everyone God loves. But he says that Luke got, he investigated and he got eyewitness accounts from people who were both eyewitnesses and servants. They experienced the word that became flesh and then they put it into practice. When we look at the Gospel of Luke and really all the other Gospels, you know, we see Jesus in Luke, his very first sermon, he went into the synagogue, the first one that's recorded, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath in Nazareth where he grew up. But by and large, in Luke and the other Gospels, we don't get a lot of details about what day of the week Jesus did or taught things. You see, he wasn't just a one day a week Messiah. I heard somebody say, you know, we don't have a Sunday Savior, we have an everyday Emmanuel, which means God with us. But I think there's this idea that many of us grew up with, that church or a relationship with God is a Sunday thing. It's something you do on Sunday morning. But of course, we want to take our faith in Jesus and live it out every day of the week, to have an everyday kind of faith. You know, on Sunday, I'll say this, hopefully, on Sunday, grace is expected. Now, we hope we could expect grace on Sunday. I didn't necessarily grow up with grace on Sunday. I grew up with church on Sunday, every Sunday, twice a day on Sunday. And I might get a little grace from time to time, but hopefully we can expect grace on Sunday. But when we leave here and we go to school and we go to our jobs and we go in our neighborhoods, grace is almost always unexpected on Monday. On Monday, grace is a surprise. But the question is, how are we going to live on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday because of what we celebrate and what we take in, what we eyewitness on Sunday as Jesus is held up? You know, the theme of the Orange Conference this year is Monday is Coming. And the challenge that we were presented with is, will we build a faith in the next generation that moves beyond Sunday and impacts our children on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, the rest of the week? You know, the goal is that our children become eyewitnesses and servants of the Word. They take it in, they experience it, but then they're able to put it into practice. It is something that's real. You know, there's a very a powerful sense in that eyewitnessing the gospel does not take place in these classrooms on Sunday. The eyewitnessing takes place through the rest of the week. And one of the things that we want to help all of our volunteers with is finding ways that we can connect with just a few kids, the few kids in small groups, connect with them through the rest of the week and let them know that we care about what happens on Monday, not just on Sunday. But it doesn't take very long about thinking of this, that when it sinks in how important our role as parents is. Because we have the kids for an hour and a half on Sunday morning. All the rest of the hours of the week, they're with parents at home. And that's why we take this approach to teaching our kids that we call Orange. You know, Orange is made up of yellow and red. Yellow stands for the church. In this way of thinking about it, yellow is the church, the light of the world. Red is the home, the place of unconditional love. And we believe that when the church and the home, the parents at home, can partner together, Not just both working on the same thing, but working together on the same thing, we have a better chance of helping our kids become eyewitnesses and servants to the Word. But of course, that challenges me, and it challenges you as parents, that we have to be putting the Word into practice so that our children can eyewitness it as they spend time with us. so that what they learn in class, in small group, on Sunday, translates into everyday faith. For those of us who are parents, there's likely nothing more important to us than helping our children be happy, to have strong self-esteem, to have strong character, and to be prepared for the challenges, to help them live into the vision that God has for their lives. And we want to make sure that the faith that they hear about on Sunday is something that translates to Monday and the rest of the week. When we think about living out an everyday faith so that our children, by looking at us and seeing other adults in our community, see or are able to, through us, eyewitness Jesus, three words come to my mind. Let us pray. What a challenge. What a challenge. But it's something that's, there's nothing nearer and dearer to our hearts than being able to build that kind of foundation of faith. As I said before, we're going to have just a few people share in just a moment. We're going to watch a video now that's kind of a recap of the conference, and then we'll talk about this theme of Monday is coming.
Pretty awesome, huh? We had a party. We had a lot of fun. You're like, oh, they're at a conference, probably falling asleep. No way, man. It was awesome. Such a great time, and I love this, the theme for the year. It makes sense, right? It makes sense. What we do on Sunday, is it going to matter tomorrow? Or are they just going to walk out and just, leave the building, and they don't think twice about what we've talked about, relationships, they don't think about God, they're just in their own world again. And really, how to bring that home on an everyday basis. And that sense of relationship. Growing up, we had a creek nearby where my mom and dad worked. It was in the downtown area of our small town, and I would go to that creek with my buddies, and we would take a rock. You try to find the good, smooth little rocks that were perfect for skipping. Anybody ever done that? Yep. Skip some rocks. You have that little angle there. You know, you try to do that sidearm thing to get those rocks to skip and to slide all across, and you would count how many jumps you got, and it was all about competition, right? It's just kind of how the world I lived in. Who could skip rocks the farthest or have the longest or the most jumps? But then there's also those times where you would take a bigger rock and say, forget skipping it. I'm just going to throw it in and see who can make the biggest splash. Right? Anybody ever done that? Just taking a big rock and just throwing it. And what happens when you throw it in? It boom, and then there's the ripple effect. You see the ripples that come out from it. It's amazing the impact that one person can have on someone else's life when they invest in that person. And then the impact that that person can have when someone is invested in their life, not just on a Sunday, but throughout their week, throughout their high school years, middle school years, what you fill in the blank, that ripple effect. And I love that visual for me because sometimes it feels like what I do doesn't matter. Anybody can relate to that? Does it really matter? And some of the hardest things is, especially in certain years of in children's lives, you don't see the effect now. But the call that I'm really focusing in on after the conference is really not worrying about the immediate, but really looking at the long-term picture. Kind of zooming out a little bit and seeing a big picture. And not getting discouraged by the little things, the day in and day out, which there's things that I can do and I can improve on, but really looking at the big picture for the students. We all have that desire to matter, to make a difference in someone's life. Someone made a difference in your life. Someone invested in you, whether it was a coach, whether it was a teacher, whether it was a parent, a grandparent, an uncle, a cousin, a boss. Someone believed in you and made a difference in your life. And we want to make that same difference and carry it on over so the ripple effect will continue. Really, one of my main goals is to connect students in a relationship with God and a relationship with each other. To connect them to a relationship with God. Relationships are so important. And they're so vital in life in general, but especially in the lives of students. Relationships. Lifelong friendship. It was cool last night, Leslie Tillman posted a picture from 21 years ago of her baptism. And in that picture was Megan and Nathan and Janelle. Greg Dixon was in it. Yeah, you got to go look that up and see Greg. I was like, that's not Greg. No. that was great. Anyway, we had fun as we looked at that picture last night, Greg. But we love you. But isn't that cool to think that through their early years, formative years, that they were together in an environment that promoted friendship and lifelong friendship? And that's what we are able to do in helping one another. That's why we want to get together with each other. And it's great to have friends at school. And I want you to have friends at school. But there's something powerful about connecting with God and then connecting with each other in the same purpose and the same goal and the same focus. You'll carry those friendships forever. And that's the effect that I want to have on the students, is they can look back and they can think, 21 years ago, we're still best friends. We're raising our kids together. We're going through the ups and downs of life together, but it was based on those formative years. And that's really what I hope every day that we can promote to them, that they do matter, relationships matter, God matters, to really invest in those things.
So this was my second Orange Conference. Last year, Sue called and asked if I wanted to be a part of it. And I have to say, I felt obligated to go. I felt like I needed to be there. I couldn't say no. I'm sure none of y'all have ever felt that way. But the only regret I had about last year was that I didn't make time to attend more of it. I had no idea what I was missing. And so this year, I was excited to go. I was excited to be invited, and it didn't disappoint. So when Sue asked me to share, I said, so you want me to tell them why they should volunteer? And she's like, no, I want you to tell them why you volunteer. Make it personal. So I'm here to make it personal. You're probably thinking that I have three kids. They're upstairs. That's why I do it. But it's not. I didn't grow up going to church. I did, however, surround myself with friends who attended church. And I was reminded during the Orange Conference, they asked us to consider where our faith began. And for me, there were two key people in my life as a child that influenced my belief in God. And, you know, I'd like to say it was the people that studied the Bible with me when I went to college, and it very much was. But there were two people when I was younger that had a huge impact. It had nothing to do with going to church with my church friends. In fact, at church, I felt extremely uncomfortable growing up because I knew nothing about the Bible. And they're all, like, answering all the questions and knew all the stories. And as Dave said, the theme of the conference was Monday is Coming. And for me, there were two people present in my Monday that made a big difference. And the first one was a lady named Miss Kay. She was the Sunday school teacher at the church that I often attended, where a lot of my friends did. And, you know, I was just a visitor. I didn't go all that often. But there was one week where this Miss Kay called me at my home. Don't even know how she got my number. But I will never forget that phone call. It was probably the only phone call. I couldn't tell you her last name, but it mattered to me because it made me feel like I mattered to her. Yeah. And that was at a time in my life when I felt completely unloved. I grew up with a single mom who was doing the best she could to put a roof over our head and to raise me right and make sure I didn't make the same mistakes my older brother did. And I know she loves me. I know that she loved me then, but as a child, it was hard to put that in perspective. I was often alone every day after school, 3 or 4 hours until she got home from work. I had an alcoholic father who, at the time, was in and out of my life, and to me, he loved alcohol more than he loved me. So Miss K made me feel cared about, and there was a speaker the first night who said she was sort of considered an at-risk teenager, who also, I might add, said that all teenagers are at risk. I thought that was a good point. But she said her youth leader cared about her Monday, and therefore she knew God cared about her Monday. And that's what Miss K was for me. She made me feel mattered, like I mattered. And the second person was a teacher that I had the privilege of having twice. Her name was Miss Carol Engel. And it was one summer she called me and said, I want to sponsor you to go to a camp, a church camp. And I was like, okay. And at the time, looking back, she probably paid for it. I'm sure it wasn't free, but she sent me. And the whole theme of the camp was agape. And it was all about God's love and God's unconditional love the entire weekend. That's all it was. And I cried every single night. They probably thought something was really wrong with me. But I never felt the emotions that that camp evoked in me. There was another quote at conference that said that we might be the children's ministry, but we might be their best chance to see Jesus. And that's what Miss Kay and Miss Engel were for me. I volunteer because they matter, and they deserve to feel like they matter. And you know, there's one other thing that someone said, that kids remember what they experience. And I think it was in the context of serving them, teaching them to serve, but for me, it was in the context of making them feel loved. If they experience that and they feel loved, then hopefully they'll know God's love. So, thanks.
How are y'all today? Just want to kind of go on what Jamie said. Anytime I get an opportunity to go to Orange, I'm dropping what I can. It's awesome. I mean, it just makes you think in a way that you've never thought before. It just switches your whole angle as a volunteer of just giving you new ideas, new outlooks on everything. With that being said, I just want to ask, how many of y'all adults out here have other things that go on outside of Sunday? Jobs, just other, you know, you got something, right? We all got other things we got going on. Well, you know, I got thinking, I went on Friday and I got thinking afterwards, how many of you have actually thought about what your kids have going on outside of here? It's pretty busy, right? I know mine are. They go to school every day and then they get out, they go to gymnastics or dance or whatever it is. There's extra things out there. I never really thought about it like that. I always thought, well, we're busy. I'm doing this. I'm taking you to this. I got to do that. Well, they actually have to do those things. I don't have to get out there and do that. You know? It's a pretty busy deal. There was a great quote by Doug Fields at the end of that video, and he said, we can't just teach them what to believe on Sunday. We've got to challenge them to serve on Monday. And that goes a lot farther than the Monday is coming deal, in my opinion. He also had a great statistic out there. It was 50% of those kids, all right, we fill them with all this, with faith, with scripture, with all this on Sunday, we fill them with all this, 50% of those kids are going to leave that faith when they go off to college. 50%. Every other child. You got two kids, one of your kids is going to leave it at home. And that hit me right there. I got three kids. At least one of my kids is going to leave that at home. That's impactful right there. The other thing that got me out of that was the comment that he said, we have to stop saying that the children are the future of the church, because they are. They are the church. And that's what it means, in my opinion, to be a volunteer. I feel like you go and you see these things and to just know that you can have an impact on a child's life so that you can maybe decrease that percentage right there. Maybe we can keep those kids. We can keep one or two or however many. If we just impact one more child to not leave their faith at home when they go somewhere. That's what it meant for Monday is coming to me. Appreciate it.
Hey, go on this side, right over here. I don't know if you grew up going to church, but I was there every week, every Sunday. And we even went on vacations. You know, you go to Florida for the week with your family, and Sunday morning, my family was at the local church. And actually, I'm very grateful for that. I wasn't grateful for it at the time. In fact, church was the only time I ever did math, because I would sit there, and to pass the time, I would count the number of tiles on the ceiling, count the number of tiles going that way, multiply, and I had all kinds of figures going in my head. I would look at that attendance board, you know what I'm talking about, where they put the numbers up every week, and I would add them up, and then I would subtract them, and then I would count them, and then it was the way I kept mine occupied during a long, boring service. You know, fun was when the teacher pulled out the flannel board. Remember that? So I think we've come a long way, and I think our Sunday school classes are fun and engaging, and the kids want to come back. But if we're going to make a difference for kids and families, we've got to think beyond the hour and a half that we have them on Sunday, because life happens between Sundays. Every week, kids and teenagers walk out of our door and into Monday's door. And if we're going to help families win, we need to take a walk in their shoes. We need to understand what their Mondays look like. Got some shoes to share with you. Maybe I'm going to need the mic off. These shoes right here, this is what their Mondays look like. These are the shoes that belong to a ninth grade boy. He saw his first porn a few years ago, and it's now become a regular thing. His parents have no idea. So Monday for him means temptation and guilt. These shoes belong to a fifth grader. Her Mondays mean more fighting between her parents. She hears way more than they realize, and she worries that they're going to get a divorce. These shoes belong to a teen girl. She recently went to a prom with her boyfriend, and the magic of the night, the whole atmosphere, created something that she didn't expect, and she crossed boundaries that she never intended to cross. So now she's faced with guilt, doesn't know who to talk to, and she's scared, doesn't know how to turn back. These are the shoes of a third grade boy. Mondays means school, which means stress and anxiety. This boy struggles to keep up. He can't sit still. No matter what his intentions, he seems to always make the bad choices. The teacher's always on his back. He doesn't have friends because he's always in trouble. So he feels bad about himself a lot. His parents are overwhelmed and don't know what to do. These are shoes of a 10th grade boy. His relationship with his dad hasn't been good since elementary school. Seems no matter what he does, his dad is not happy with him. He's counting down the days until he can leave home. And these shoes right here, they belong to a middle school girl. She walks out of her door and into Mondays full of insecurity. She doesn't feel comfortable with the way her body is changing. She sits alone at lunch. She reads online that cutting will make her feel better. So she experiences that, and her parents don't know. This is just a little snapshot of what our family's Mondays look like. I could go on if I had more time. It's not just our families within these walls, but it's 10 times that when you step outside of our walls. This is what our families are dealing with. And if we want to help families win, we've got to step out of Sunday school on Sunday and step into their Mondays. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? You know, he walked out of the door of his world, one world, and walked through the door of our world, and he loved us, and he walks with us. In Ephesians 4:15, it says that we are to speak the truth in love. And if you've been around for a while, as I talk about all of these, you probably have got advice for every one of these families. Let me just sit down and talk to them. But the truth is that truth matters when love matters. And if you want to help a family, you're going to have to walk with them. Because you can sit down and give them advice and tell them what to do, and it's in one ear, out the other. Because until you show them that you really love them and really care with them and that you're walking with them and are willing to walk with them through this, they're not going to be able to hear the words that you have to say, no matter how much truth is involved in it. We're not about fixing people. We're about loving people. As a staff, we're always reevaluating what we do. You know, is this meeting the need? How can we do this better? And as we discussed our family plans, these kinds of things are heavy on our heart because our families are hurting and parents are looking for help. So what if we could be the place where they could find help and they could find community and they could find people that would walk with them through their struggles? Not that we have all the answers, but that we'll walk through it with them, that we're willing to walk into their messy Mondays with them. What if we could do that? And so we decided this year to do something different in June. Summer Serve has been incredible. We've done it for 6 years. But this summer, this June, we want to focus on helping families. So we're calling it Family Matters. And here's what we hope to accomplish. Well, here's what we're going to do. In June, we're going to focus on strengthening families with teaching on marriage and on parenting. On Sundays through the month of June, we will have a marriage series. So about 95% of you guys are married. And even I recognize that there are some of you that are not, but you know somebody that is, and you know somebody that could benefit from hearing a message on marriage and getting help with their marriage. So on Sundays, we're going to do that. We've got the first Sunday of the month. We're going to have a big kickoff with a picnic and carnival, just like we do every summer outside. And then on Wednesday night, we're going to have a parenting series all 4 weeks in June. And we have got lined up guest speakers to come speak to our families and our friends every Wednesday night. They're going to be addressing topics like combating the hurried culture, sexuality, talking to your child about sex at every phase, faith development at every phase, family dynamics, how to create a healthy family culture at home. So we think this is something that's going to really help our families, but also something that will help the families that we're in contact with through work, through school, and other relationships. So here's what we hope to accomplish. We want to be good news to our community by providing parents help. We want our kids to come and have a blast, and that's what it's going to be about midweeks. When they come on Wednesday nights, it's going to be fun. They're going to have games. They're going to have projects where they are building and making things that will go. We're going to put together lunches for Rainbow Village. They're going to do sunshine boxes for a senior home. So they're going to be doing projects just like they have done during Summer Serve. We want them to have a blast. We want it to be something that they want to bring their friends to. And we want to meet some needs in the community with the projects that they're doing. So Also, middle school and high schoolers are going to have classes. I think out of the 4 weeks, a couple of times, they will have guest speakers come in and talk to them. They will also be involved in some service projects as a part of Family Matters. Now, I recognize that some of you are sitting there and you think, great, the whole month of June is focused on marriage and parenting, and I'm not married, or I no longer have children at home. 75% of Cornerstone is married with children. But I know the rest of you are sitting there saying, how does this involve me? You may not have children, but you know somebody who does. I'm assuming that you know somebody who does. So we want you, and we especially need you, because here's what's going to happen on Wednesday nights. When the parents come in and we have parenting classes for them, who's going to be helping with the kids when they're having fun? When they're doing their projects, when they're singing, when they're playing their games, when they're having their snacks. We really need our empty nesters, our people without children at home, to help us out in those areas so that the parents can actually be in here and to benefit from the messages. So here's what we need you to do. This week, you're going to be getting information about how to register for Family Matters. So register and then share it with a friend. And we're going to give you all kinds of ways that you can share it with other families. It'll be really easy. Registration will all be online, so your friends can register without you having to do anything here at church. I also would like for you, if you're an empty nester or don't have children, to sign up today on the sign-up sheet for how you can volunteer. And I'm going to be over there so I can answer questions about the roles that we need filled to run this program. We need your support financially. You know, this is not something, just like Summer Serve, this is not something that we budget for in the church. This is not in our church budget. So it'll just be financed. I had somebody this morning hand me a check for $2,000. So we're thinking that the program will probably cost us between $10,000 and $12,000 to run everything and pay for the guest speakers and the kickoff. So we're already $2,000 toward it. Yes, thank you. We're going to close out here in just a second. I'm going to ask Chuck Neely to come up and pray for our summer program, Family Matters, and also just to pray for our families. And the band, y'all can come on up too. We're going to close out with Good, Good Father. Thank you.